The first thing that greets you is this overpowering smell of garlic. It's fantastic. What sort of garlic is it?
The variety's called Dagansky, and it's around 500 kilograms of it in here, which we've just harvested a few days ago from the Hobart City Farm.
What's the significance of this huge garlic crop?
So this garlic is our first crop of the Hobart City Farm, which is really exciting. And it's being garlic's quite valuable, so it'll be a good income earner for us as well. But also, just being the first crop, we're incredibly excited. We're just so overjoyed that we've been able to achieve this in the first year.
The garlic is actually a symbol, and out in the garden outside, there's other things growing. So you said tomatoes.
That's
you've
right.
got what else in?
Cucumbers, zucchinis, all types of squash, herbs. There'll be direct sowing lots of seasonal crops, root crops, lettuce, salad, so many things, whatever we can grow, basically. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go and have a look. So we're going out to the Hobart City Farm now, and opposite the storage space, I love the flower border.
Yeah, there's great perennial flowers and herbs in there, which are really useful and really pretty.
Well, they are useful. This is all about the beneficials, isn't it?
That's right. So everything we grow has to be productive, basically. And because it is a really public space, we also want to show how a productive garden can be a beautiful garden.
So 500 kilos of garlic, that's quite a quantity. What kind of space did you need to get that from?
It's actually smaller than you might think. You can see down beyond the far side of the farm, we've got rows that have just dug up. There's 19 rows, which are around 15 metres long each. So it's roughly 15 by 20 metre space that we've grown all that garlic in.
It could actually be in a backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the main things we want to help inspire people with. It's a relatively small space here. It's just under half an acre we've cultivated. A lot of people live in a quarter acre block or bigger or slightly smaller. You can grow a huge amount of food in that space.
So urban farming can actually be more than a hobby.
Yeah, urban farming can be a livelihood, and I think it's a fantastic thing to really highlight. We need more farmers right now, and that can happen in urban and rural centres.
When I say it's more than a hobby, how important is it within a community?
If we look at the national context first, so the average age of us farmers in Australia in the mid-50s, there's more retiring than starting. So once upon a time, many, many people were farming, family farmers, and it was not an issue. Today, we see this trend of urbanisation, so people are looking for careers which match urbanisation. We really need to enhance our cityscapes and urban, suburban areas to be living spaces, and that includes food systems. They have a role and a really important place in urban and rural centres, and we can partner and work with our rural farmers to create a food system which is healthy and whole and really, really functional. And I think that's an incredibly important thing that we have to address right now and for the years to come, to create a food system which is safe, healthy and really, really vibrant.
There's also something about the enormous satisfaction knowing that you've grown food yourself. So whether you're selling or not selling, whether you're just sustaining a family on a piece of ground, is that part of the role of the urban farm as well?
That's right. So we're not saying everybody should go be a farmer, but we are saying most people have the opportunity to grow some or a significant part of their perishable food, so their fruits and vegetables, in the place where they live, basically.
So can you give me some examples of people you know who are doing that and what their backyard might look like?
Yeah, so around Hobart, I've got many friends who are growing food, and you walk into their gardenscape and they've usually got some chooks in there, sometimes some beehives, a few fruit trees. You don't have to have a lot of things. They've always got a bit of a herb garden and a range of vegetable beds or systems set up, and that can be quite small, can have one vegetable bed, or some people have turned their whole lawnscapes into foodscapes, which is always pretty nice to see, I reckon.
You're lucky to have such a lovely piece of ground. How far from the city are we?
Oh, approximately somewhere between 3 and 5 kilometres, like really close. Easy to walk or ride your bike or catch a bus sometimes.
That's right, and I think most cities could find a patch of ground for a community garden of this size. It's not extraordinarily huge.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to actually move your produce? Sure. What's the plan? Have you got a shop?
Yeah, so we have a few different approaches to moving the produce. One is our online shop, which people can log on a weekly basis and buy the produce that we have available. and they can come to the farm each week and pick that up. We're also going to be having some opportunistic pop-up shops at different events, and we'll explore having regular markets here and there. But we really want to prioritise the online shop and bring people into the farm regularly.
So the online shop will be you announcing, we have 500 kilos of garlic and we have a few tons of tomatoes. Oh, inside the, what do you call it, the hothouse or the polytunnel?
Just watch your step, we've got a string line.
Yep.
Here. We've got some misters on down the far end, which will turn on and off automatically. And we're walking past around 150 tomatoes of a few different varieties and a hell of a lot of basil at their bases.
Oh, I see, yes. So now that has a purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, it's basically, some people see it as a bit of companion planting, but really it's about stacking your plants, and so you're making the most of the space available to you. So instead of just growing tomatoes, we're growing two crops. And you could chuck in a third in there as well, but this is quite closely planted tomatoes. They're planted every 30 centimetres,
yeah,
which is a really close approach to planting them.
And any particular varieties? Do you go down the heritage path, or do you just grow what's going to pump out the most fruit?
No, we've got, I think it was somewhere between 8 and 10 varieties. And we've got one which is known as, I think it's called George's Tomato. It's my old guy in Glenorchy, and it's just pumping along. And we really seek out the local varieties because we know that they're more used to the local conditions and will thrive accordingly, which is great.
It must be so inspiring for people to come and visit.
Yeah, and I think these tomatoes, I was here 3 days ago and I think they've grown a foot. So they're really coming along.
How do you deal with the money part of it? Is that just something that sustains the actual city farm and gets you things like this polytunnel?
The initial setup of this farm we crowdfunded, and our local community raised over $13,500 for us. And that's what's enabled us to set up the hothouse and a huge amount of irrigation and so much stuff, which is incredibly fantastic. We also got a grant from the Heart Foundation to support some funds towards paying wages, which is so helpful.
Because it is a business. It has to be taken seriously, you have to have a commitment and you have to have reliability so that the important work gets done.
That's right. We're a social enterprise, so we're a not-for-profit business, and different to a community garden, which is usually plot-based, individual small gardens, this is a market garden, and so we run it like a business. So we need to make sure it's viable and feasible and for ourselves, but also to demonstrate how other people can also do it.
And the spin-off into the community must be immense, because really the whole notion of a city farm is about education and well-being, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why obviously there's a lot of people in the city, and so having a farm like this in the city means a lot of people can see it, engage with it and learn from it.
It would work in any centre though, or any regional centre.
Oh,
do you have similar things happening in places like Launceston or Deloraine?
Sure.
Or
yeah, so in Launceston they've got some great community-based gardens, so not necessarily a market garden, but as soon as you go to the peri-urban edges of cities, you'll see small market gardens pop up, usually on private land run by families, and they're happening everywhere. So they might not necessarily be as public all the time, but you can rest assured they are there.
Any numbers of the spread of gardens throughout Tasmania?
A count we did a few years ago now, there was around 30 community gardens and a lot of school gardens, maybe 50 plus. I expect that number to have significantly gone up by now. Yeah.
I think the exciting part is the online potential for moving produce.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a newer innovation, which is great. And you see it all across the world now. And it enables us to keep our overheads down, which makes things like this more possible, which is so important. And having a weekly online shopping system where people can then come and collect that produce on the farm is a great way for us to engage with our community and for people to see where their produce comes from, which is so important.
Well, the optimism is palpable, Hannah. Good
luck
with it.
We're very excited. Thanks, Margot.